If you don't have a Bible or you see somebody who don't have a Bible, please share with them a Bible. I'm going to read one verse this morning. Start off, Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11, verse number 23. We're going to go through the book of Romans next adult Bible study quite a bit. So we're going to read probably, I'm guessing, one third, if not more, of the book of Romans next Sunday for the adult Bible study concerning salvation. And I know I'm taking this out of the context in which it's written, but the truth is still true for what I'm going to use it this morning. Romans chapter number 11, verse 23. If you have that, let's read together from the King James Bible. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. I'm going to talk about God being able to grafting you in again. So let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for being such a wonderful God. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, for your patience, for your long-suffering. Thank you, Lord, for church this morning that we're able to gather here according to Hebrews 10:25. Lord, we know the time is short. We know the trumpet sound is coming soon. We don't know exactly when, but we know it's coming. You can't help but listen to the news or read the papers or see what's going on in the world today and not realize that everything is just fitting squarely in with the prophecies outlined in the Word of God. And Lord, what a day it'll be. Lord, we'll be in heaven together forever. And what a glory to share for all eternity. Until then, Lord, help us to encourage one another. Help us to pray for one another. Help us, Lord, to not give up. And Lord, I pray that this will be a help to somebody this morning and a blessing, please. Help me to help somebody. Help me to get out of the way. And I pray, dear Holy Spirit of God, that you speak to somebody's heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Romans chapter number 11, verse 23. Pay attention now. Romans chapter number 11, verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief. There's two, what we call a double negative there. There's two negatives in the first part of the sentence. I don't have time to get into all that, and there's a reason why it's a double negative. Shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. This is talking about the chapter, so many of these chapters in the book of Romans here when it talks about salvation, where God's chosen people, the Israelites, God puts them out as a vine, and they've been cut down, and now in the church age, or New Testament church age, as we call it, God takes a wild vine and he splints it or grafts it into the vine of Israel. The only reason you and I receive the blessings of God is because we're grafted into the vine of Israel that God had cut off because of their unbelief. And there's other scriptures here. We will not get to them all this morning. Pay attention, boys. Boys, pay attention. But you and I can be cut off in unbelief, just like the Israelites were cut off in unbelief. But I'm going to talk to you this morning about being grafted in. I had the wonderful privilege of, when I was a young boy, I'm talking about 10, 11, 12 years old and into my teens, at least once a year, sometimes two times a year in the summertime, I would go spend one or two or more weeks with my cousin in Astoria, Queens. And I never saw a man probably work as hard as my Uncle Gosta as he did. He ran a florist shop in Fort Washington area right across from the George Washington Bridge. Now, it was really unknown to me because a I guess, as I told you before, I was kind of lazy growing up. But when I went to my cousin Mike's house to stay for a week or two, once in a while we'd go with my uncle to his work. I mean, we left 4 o'clock in the morning. We left 5 o'clock in the morning. And it wasn't light. It wasn't light till like 5, 6, 7 o'clock. And we didn't come back until we were all dead tired. Amen. But one of the things I really appreciate about my uncle who ran a florist shop, you can learn a lot from flowers, ladies and gentlemen. You'd be shocked what you can learn from a flower or from a tree. Before, now, you may know what I'm talking about when I start explaining this, but before it became popular, I want to say about 10 or 20 years ago, I saw my uncle, he would take a tree, and I don't know what kind it was, I'll be honest with you, I don't know too much about a floristry, if that's the right word or not, but he would take a tree stump and a tree stalk, I guess, and he would cut it off about maybe 4, 5, or even 6 foot high, and he cut it off square at the top, just flat. He would take all the branches off, and he would take his knife, and he would cut into the tree itself, the trunk of the tree, like a V. And then he'd take some flower, and he'd plant it into that, like graft it in, and then he would tie it around so that it would be like tied into that. And he'd do that about 2 or 3 or 4 times on that same tree. And don't you know that when you water that tree trunk, that water will grow up and it'll eventually water even the flower that is not the same hybrid or whatever they call it of that tree trunk. It would receive the water, the nutrients, and it would bloom. And I saw this picture. It's like a perfect picture of what I'm talking about here tonight. Israel is the vine of God. The Bible says they were cut off because of unbelief. And now those of us who believe the gospel can be grafted into that same vine that the Israelites rejected because of unbelief. If we believe, God will take us and graft us in, and we can bloom and flower and grow while, even though we were cut off before and dead. Last year, we're clearing out some land where we live in the backyard here, where we live up in Melrose, and my son put a big old garden there last year. I'm talking about 600, 700, 800 plants, amen. And Lord willing, we're going to do the same thing this year, amen. And so it was funny because we have a lot of small wild cherry trees. And we found out last year, if we cut those cherry trees down, and I'm talking about maybe, anywhere between 1 inch and 2 inches thick. If you cut them off, they make great stakes for your tomato plants. I mean, better than you think, you know? And so we just planted them in there for every tomato plant, you know? We put some string around when the tomatoes grow up. We just tied them, you know, the poor man's stake, I guess you would call it, amen? I could not believe. It was sometime around August, maybe July, I can't remember now. I was in the garden, you know, checking on the tomatoes and stuff like that. And I'm looking at the cherry stick that we have, and don't you know, the cherry branch is flowering. This is after we cut it down, flat, straight on the ground, didn't pull it up by its roots, just put it in the ground as a stake. But it had water, it had rained, and it got so much water that the water was going up that tree. So it's a small sapling. Now, I'm going to talk about maybe 2, maybe 3 inches. My son would know better. But I could not believe it was even flowering coming out of the new cherry sapling. What it tells me is if you have breath to breathe, that God is not done with you yet. You may feel like you're cut out. You may feel like you're cut off. You may feel like there has been no hope, you've been kicked in the gut, and you had the worst bad news you could ever hear in your life. And you feel like there's no hope, and you think that there's nothing I can do. All you need to do is allow God just to pick you up and graft you back in, amen? Through belief, you will grow again. You will blossom again. It's hard for us sometimes when you go through difficult times and trying times to believe that. When all your dreams have been flushed down the toilet, when all your hopes have been dashed. But if you're willing still to believe what God says, you can, even today, be grafted in. I'm not a gardener. I wish I knew more about gardening. But the Bible name for gardener is husbandman. And that's who God is. The husband. That's what Adam was in the garden. He was the husbandman. He was supposed, and that's what a husband means, to take care of the crops and take care of the plants and the fruit trees that God's given you. And that's what God is in the business of. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've got breath in you, God is in the business of reclaiming people that have been cut off. And I don't care what you've gone through in your life, God can take that and take that branch that's been cut off and splice it in and tie it in, and you can receive the same nutrients from the Word of God maybe that you experienced 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago that you had once experienced from God. What I'm saying is, never too late for God. What I'm saying is, never too late for God. The Bible says, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. You're going to fall down. It's inevitable because we wear this coat of flesh. It's inevitable that you're going to sin today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's inevitable that you're going to make some misjudgments and errors. It's inevitable that you're going to make some miscalculations. I say to you this morning, get up off your face and let God graft you back in, amen. I say, get up off your pity party and allow God to take his knife, the sword, the Word of God, and just cut open the stalk of Israel and just put you right back in there, and you can bloom again, ladies and gentlemen. Your life, you may think, is rotting today and it smells rotten today. But you know what? If you're grafted back in, God can make you bloom, and you can smell sweet and be a sweet, saving, smelling savor in God's nostrils, ladies and gentlemen, in God's sight. Take your Bible, please, turn to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your past is like. I don't care if you got a criminal history. I don't care if you've been divorced, separated 5 or 10 times. I don't care if you've been addicted to drugs, alcohol, hallucinogenic drugs, heroin, speed, LSD. I don't care if you robbed anybody, robbed banks. I'm telling you, God is not willing that any should perish. That's just talking for salvation. But even those of us who are saved and have gone wayward, maybe, like the prodigal son who left home, God's always standing with his arms wide open, stretched open for you, amen. God, you may have given up on God, but God's never given up on you, amen. You may have forgotten about God, but God's never forgotten about you, amen. Do you realize that you weren't searching for God, but God was searching for you? You weren't looking for God, God was looking for you. You know, none of us say, you know, I want to be saved today. No. Well, you may have thought about eternity. You may have thought about God. You may have thought about, you know, what's going to happen after that. You may have thought about those things, but God came looking for you. And that's why God brought you a parent or a sibling or a preacher or a church or a soul winner or a neighbor or a coworker. And God sent somebody to you to tell you about him. Amen. That's what God did with me. I wasn't thinking about God. God was like almost the furthest thing away from my mind, ladies and gentlemen. I was in my own little world doing what I wanted to do, just my selfish interests, amen. God had to knock on my thick head, amen. Hey, dummy, I'm looking for you. Thank God, God was the first missionary looking for a lost sinner in the Garden of Eden, amen. God was looking for Adam when Adam was hiding, trying to run from God. Can you imagine trying to run from God? That's what we do. It's impossible, brother. We try to run from God as if we can hide from God. It's like me getting underneath this pulpit now, trying to hide as if God can't see where I'm at. That God can't see me at home, or God can't see me at work, or God can't see me in my car. Ladies and gentlemen, God knows who you are, and God's been looking for you, amen. And you may have messed up your life, you may have walked away from God, but God's trying to get you back. He's trying to reconcile you back, amen. God's not done with you. God ain't finished with you yet. See, I don't have too many talents. If you're breathing, that's the talent that God wants. Amen. Romans chapter number 5, I said, verse number 20. Romans 5, verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Right. I know some of you think, you say, I've done this in my past, and there's no way that God can use me. That's because you don't know the God of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. You may not be able to have a position maybe that you wanted to have, or an office that you might want to have, or you may not be able to do everything that you had dreamed about, but God can still use you if you're willing to be used. And you can only be like that if you have the right humility and the right position before God and say, God, I've messed up my life. God, I've run away. I've walked away. I've done things that were despicable. But you got to come to God with asking God for forgiveness and asking God for mercy. And if you do that humility, God will pick you up and graft you back in, ladies and gentlemen. Are you willing to be used of God? That's all it is. You don't have to go to God necessarily and say, God, Lord, you know what I've done. I've done this and I've done. Don't you think God knows what you've done? God is looking for a willing heart. God is looking for somebody who wants to serve him in humility and say, God, I don't care what it is. He's like the prodigal son, remember? Remember in the Gospel of Luke there? He left home. He said, you know what? My dad's servants are living better than me eating with the pigs. Can you imagine eating the husks that the pigs left over in the slop, in the poop, in the pig pen, and the Jewish boy eating the filth and the abomination left over by the pigs? You know what he said? The Bible says when he came to himself, he said, you know what? I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back to my father, amen. And you know what? Thank God the Father was waiting for him with open arms, amen. Now, hey, the Father, hey boys, pay attention, it's not a playground, it's church. The Father never said, why you been away so long? The Father never said, what did you do? The Father never said, why did you mess up your life? The Father never went into detail and asked him all the things that he did and all the places that he went. The Father is waiting for his son to come back home, amen. That's all God's waiting for you. God's just waiting for you to come back home, amen. Amen. God's waiting for you to come back so he can come back home and graft you in where you were before, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, he'll take the word of God and sword. He'll slice open a place in the vine of Israel, and he'll slice you right back in. Amen. If God wants me here, God wants me there, God wants me there, wherever God wants to put me, glory be to God. I just want to be used of God. I want to be used of God. Now, you may not have thought about this, but let me tell you a couple things. God has already used you. You may not think so, but God has already used you. The moment you were born, you brought joy to somebody, amen. You may not remember it. You don't know who it was. You know who came to the hospital room. You don't know who came to your home the first week you were born, the first month you were born. But when they saw you, a newborn baby, you brought joy to somebody without you even knowing it. And you were a help to somebody along your life, and you may have forgotten about it, but you have helped somebody along the way. Whether your children appreciate it or not, you've helped your children, amen. Children are so unappreciative today, don't you think? Children are so spoiled today, you know? A mom goes to the gates of death to bring forth a son or a daughter, and they just about spit in her face, take her for granted. Ungrateful children, ungrateful teenagers. Dad goes out to work, if he's working, provide for his family, put roof over your head, food on the table, clothes on your back, talk back to your dad. Somebody ought to slap you upside the head. Just don't let DSS know about it, amen. Go for a ride in the woods somewhere, amen. Say, we're going for a country ride, son. We're going to see God's nature today. My daughter, we're going out for a ride today. Take yourself a good switch or something like that, or just playing out in the woods, amen. I'm just saying, we live in the most ungrateful, unthankful generation. Not thankful for dad and mom, not thankful for home, not thankful for church, you know. Not thankful for the word of God, not thankful for salvation. We're very ungrateful people, ladies and gentlemen. And so we get cut off because of our unbelief that leads to a sin and a life of sin. It's our unbelief lack of faith, by living by the flesh, that we go out into the world, we're tempted by the flesh, we're tempted by sin, and we go out and do something dastardly that we should not have been doing. That's why I tell you all the time, you ought to read your Bible all the time. You ought to be in church when you can. You ought to be praying on your knees as much as you possibly can. Stay close to God. Because the world's out there trying to destroy you and your family, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, maybe your wife left you high and dry. Maybe you're a single mom struggling. I don't know. Maybe you got bad news from a doctor telling you got cancer. I don't know what your problems are or your heartaches are. Maybe you think there's no help, and maybe you think there's no hope, and maybe you think there's nothing I can do. I'm telling you, if you got breath, you can be grafted in again, amen. Hey, if you're alive, you can pray. If nothing else, you can pray for me. If nothing else, you can pray for the house of God. If nothing else, you can pray for lost sinners to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. If nothing else, you can pray for the power of God. You can still pray if you got breath. So, even though you've been used in the past to bring joy to somebody, at the same time, you've probably brought tears and sadness at other times in your life. You probably let down somebody. You probably hurt somebody. You probably disappointed somebody. Well, that's all of us, ladies and gentlemen. We've all been there. Everybody's brought joy sometime in their life, and everybody's brought sadness sometime in their life. It's almost inevitable because we're sinners. Well, God has already used you, which tells me, according to Romans 11:23, that God can still use you if you're breathing. Regardless of what you think. You got to get over yourself, over your despondency, over your pity party, over your depression, and realize that God Almighty in heaven, the creator of the universe, the one who made you, can still use you if you're willing to be used. Unbeknownst to you, God is still using you. The Bible says you can do nothing for or against the truth, or you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. You cannot do anything against the truth. In other words, if you live right for God, God is bound to bless you because you're obeying the word of God. Now listen to me good. If you disobey God, God is bound to curse you and to prove to everybody that God's word is still true. Whether you obey him and get blessed by God, or whether you disobey God and be cursed by God, you're still being used of God, unbeknownst to you. Now, if you're going to be used of God, I'd rather be used of God so God can bless me instead of cursing me, don't you think? Amen. I mean, the blessings are a lot better than the curses, amen? If I have already been used of God, if I can still be used of God, and God is using me, I'd rather God use me for what's right, not for what's evil or sinful. Well, verse number 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hey, turn around and stop talking. Grace, can you come here and sit down between these boys or something like that? Just sit in the front row here. You know what it is? It's proving my point. This is proving my message this morning, amen? You can be a blessing or you can be a curse. You can be a help or you can be a hindrance. The choice is yours. And God is going to, I want to say almost react to the decision that you make. He's bound. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you call on God to save your soul. God is bound to save you because God's in the business of saving people. You reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. God is bound, according to his word, for you to be cast into the lake of fire that was originally intended for the devil and his angels, not for you. But God's bound by your choice and your decision that you make. You either receive Jesus Christ your Savior and go to heaven, or you reject Jesus Christ your Savior and go to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, the same choice is made in life. You've been cut off, you've been torn apart because of sin. You have a choice. You can lay on the canvas of the boxing ring of life and say, I give up. I can't take this anymore. Or with a bloodied face, bruised body, crawl over to the rings and get on those ropes and just climb back up and say, you know what, I want God to use me. You can be used of God. The decision is yours. The choice is yours. Romans chapter number 5, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, Even so, my grace reigned through righteousness unto the eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So even at times when the way you disobey God, you can obey God, amen? I think about my past, man, how wicked I was. I'm telling you, the things I was chasing, the things I was after, the things that the world puts up as the most glamorous things are all vanity, ladies and gentlemen. Have no eternal value. Well, I said to myself, if I can chase those things for 21 years of my life, and if I can chase things that have no value and are just a waste of time and a waste of money and a waste of energy, surely I can do something for God, amen? Right. And you know what God did? He picked me up and grafted me into Israel, amen? Right. And guess what? When I've obeyed God, God's bloomed and God's blessed and God's provided, amen? Right. But when I was unbelieving, after I got saved, and I didn't have the faith I should have, whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. So, when you find yourselves times of unbelief, or times of doubting, or times of not of living by sin, guess what? You get cut off. I wonder how many times God had to pick us up and put it back in. God picks us up and puts us back in. God picks us up and puts us back in. We're not going to know until we get to heaven, amen? We think we did it on our own. No, God picks us up, amen? And you know that little simple whisper of a prayer that you prayed once or twice, 1,000 times? God, I need you right now. Oh, God, help me. I wonder if God just picked you up, amen, and sliced you back in, amen. Huh? Take a Bible, please. Turn with me to Judges chapter number 16. Judges 16. Seventh book in the Old Testament. After Deuteronomy, Joshua's Judges. Judges chapter number 16. The strongest man ever recorded in the Bible is Samson. I think recorded in history, to be honest with you. But Samson was, and I'm not going to get into all of Samson's life, but he was the strongest man. He picked up the city gates and just carried them off. I mean, the man just with his bare hands had the strength. And for whatever reason, God allowed the power and his strength because of his hair. You remember he fell into Delilah, and Delilah tricked him as a strange woman will trick you and destroy you and ruin you. And now Samson finds the end of his life now ruined because of sin. He had a problem with women, as you know. If you read the story about Samson, he had a problem. And that led to his early death, as you'll find here. He was held captive by the Philistines. His hair was cut off, eyes were gouged, chained to the pillars, and they made fun of him. They made sport of him. They were laughing at him, mocking at him. He lost all his power. And now we come to his last days as he's weak. Judges chapter number 16, verse number 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. And by the way, that's what sin will do to you. It took out Samson's eyes. Sin will blind you, ladies and gentlemen. And then sin will bind you with the chains. And then sin will grind you down. You think you can control sin. You think it's a little thing and everybody else is doing it. It doesn't really matter. But sin is like leaven. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. And then you can't control it. And sin will blind you and bind you and grind you. If it did it to Samson, it'll do it to you too. But it's interesting here, verse number 22. I don't know the time and space all this took, and I don't know how long it took for him to grow back his hair, but it's interesting, it says, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. If you know anything about Samson, as I said, his power, his strength was in his hair. They shaved it, they cut it off. But his hair began to grow again. Blind now, chained to the pillars for the Philistines, his arch enemies to make fun of him. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god. And that's what the world will do. They'll praise Satan at the downfall of a Christian. They'll mock Christianity. They say, see, all those hypocrites, I told you that's what they're all like. And they'll praise their gods of secularism. And they praise Dagon here, their god. And they rejoice, for they said, our God had delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God had delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, that they say, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. They were laughing at him, mocking at him, teasing him. Can you imagine him being blind, chained now, he's weak? And they're hitting him and saying, hey, Samson, who hit you here? Here, hit me, Samson. Can't see, swinging. Just humiliating and making a mockery out of God's chosen vessel. Have you been there? Have you ruined your life where the world's laughing at you, mocking at you? Hey, tell us what you believe about the Bible now. So-and-so. Huh? You know what I'm talking about. Relatives criticize you. You say that you were saved. You try to tell them about Jesus, and then you mess up your life. Verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Boy, what a curse that is, dying with the enemy, amen. But that's where he was at. That's where his life led him. Now there's nowhere he can go. There's nothing he can do right now. But I remind you, his hair was growing back. His strength is coming back. Eyes gone, mocked at, used, misused, and abused by the world because of a life of sin. And now he comes to his end. He says, oh, dear God, remember me just one more time, dear God. He whispers a prayer to God. Say, God, just one more time, please. One more time, remember me. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were within therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Can you imagine this great warrior Samson, who killed so many thousands of Philistines? In the last moment of his life, he whispered a prayer and said, dear God, please remember me. Just, dear God, one more time. Before I die, before I take my last breath, dear God, just use me one more time. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound, ladies and gentlemen. You can put yourself in Samson's place. If you look all of Samson's life, even as a great warrior for God, even as someone who was used of God in the past, who had ruined his life, if you would look at the totality of his life, you say, you know what? Samson is not that great of a Christian, or he's not that great of a believer in God, or he's not a great servant of God. But yet God chose to put Samson in Hebrews chapter number 11, the hall of faith. I wonder if he had done that, if he didn't whisper this last prayer before he died and said, Lord, just one more time, remember me, just once, dear God, just once. And Samson's strength came back. I don't know what you've been through in your life. I don't know what you're going through right now. But all I'm telling you right now is just whisper a prayer and say, dear God, just one more time. Dear God, please use me one more time. I'm willing to be used of you. I don't care where you want me to be used. I don't care how you want me to be used. But dear God, just use me one more time. God will use you. You have to believe that, ladies and gentlemen. If God can use Samson, he can use you. And while they were mocking him and laughing at him and saying, he's all done, he's all washed up, there's no more good he can do, the Bible says when a just man falls seven times, he rises up again, amen. You may have fallen flat on your face. You may have been cut down. You may have been cut off. But God will graft you back in if you just whisper, God, remember me just one more time. One more time. Your flower can bloom again. Let's close with 2 Kings 7, please. 2 Kings, chapter number 7. I want to remind you that Peter denied Jesus and was grafted back in. I want to remind you that King David committed adultery and murdered the man that the husband of the woman that he slept with and was grafted back in. I want to remind you that Moses killed the Egyptian but was grafted back in. I want to remind you that John Mark was homesick and left Paul and Barnabas, but after a while was able to be used in the ministry again by the Apostle Paul. I want to remind you that Thomas doubted but was grafted back in a week later. I want to remind you that the woman at the well had five husbands, and the woman she was living with was not her husband, but Jesus was able to graft her back in. I want to remind you that Job, a righteous and upright man, and one that eschewed evil and sin and loved God, lost all his family other than his bickering wife, lost all his riches, and lost all his health. But in the last chapter of Job, Job got twice as much back, amen, because he was able to be grafted in by God. I'll remind you that Elijah, the great man of God, who God used in the history of Israel to bring victory and miracles, ran from a woman, had a pity party, a wish to die, was grafted back in by God. I'll remind you that Jonah, the reluctant, disobedient, self-willed preacher, when God told him to go to Nineveh, went the opposite direction. But he was able to get grafted in and led the largest revival in the history of mankind ever to be recorded. 120,000 people got saved, from the king to the poor person. I'm telling you, God can still use you. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how far you walked away from God. I don't care what you've done. God can use you if you're willing to say, God, one more time, remember me, please. Fall on your face in humility. Say, God, I've really messed up. Please, I need your mercy right now. All my so-called friends have walked away, but dear God, I need you right now. 2 Kings, chapter number 7, please. There's a famine in the land. Such a famine that people were eating their own children, ladies and gentlemen. Chapter 7, verse number 1, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. I'm telling you, the windows of heaven are open to those who say, God, just one more time. Give me a blessing one more time. Help me to be a blessing one more time. God, use me just one more time. And the windows of heaven will be open for you directly and personally if you just believe it. If you reject it and don't believe the word of God, you think the old-time religion is too strict and too old-fashioned, too narrow-minded, the blessings of God are not for you, ladies and gentlemen. Verse number 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. You know what leper is? You know what leprosy is in the Bible? It's a picture of sin. Anywhere you find leprosy in the Bible, it's a picture of sin. And these four lepers, because they were lepers, they had to stay away from people. They had to live by themselves on their own, with other lepers. They're not allowed to have any communication or live or to dwell near other people without leprosy. So these four lepers were in at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. I mean, we have no other choice. We're going to die anyway. There's a famine. We're sitting at the gate here. We're going to die of famine. There's a famine inside the city. We're going to die. We might as well just go to the enemy. If they kill us, we're going to die anyway. Let's just go towards the enemy. It's amazing what God can do. with people that are just breathing, that are lepers, that say we might as well do something. Verse number 5. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Can you imagine living for 3.5 years, no rain, a famine in the land, people are dying and eating their own children. The chapter before, they were eating their own young. Can you imagine? And then walking into the Syrian camp and seeing all this food and start eating it right away. Only God can do that. Because God made the enemy hear the sounds of horses and chariots. And the enemy thought it was the Egyptians or the Hittites coming. I'm telling you, all you got to do is say, God, use me one more time, and God will fight your battles and will go before you. You won't have to do it. You think you have to do this now, you have to straighten this out. You may, God may have you do those things, but it will be God that does them for you, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to do is say, let's go. Let's just go. Let's go with the way God wants me to go, and let's just do what God wants me to do. And God's promised me the windows of heaven are going to be open. I can't see it. I don't see it. The Red Sea before me. It said, now, God, what do you want me to do? It said, Moses, why don't you raise up that rod and see what happens? And don't you know the whole Red Sea opened up? By faith, he raised up that rod with the enemy chasing him behind him. Hey, what's God got in store for you if you just say, God, just use me one more time? I wonder what God has in store for you this week, this month, this year. If you just say, God, don't give up on me. God, help me to get up out of here. And Lord, I promise to do whatever I can to live for you. Hey, Jesus, when that woman was caught in adultery and they brought him before her, remember the woman? You know what he said? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know what she did? She was grafted into the stock again. She started blooming again. Hey, that woman at the well in John chapter number 4 had 5 husbands living in adultery. You know what God did? He took that trodden flower and he spliced it into the stock of Israel and she was grafted in. And immediately, the Bible says, she went into the town and told all the Samaritans about Jesus Christ the Savior, and they all came out, the whole city, to hear Jesus Christ. She was being used of God. You can be used of God. I don't care what your crime is. I don't care what your past is. You can be grafted in and used of God, ladies and gentlemen. Here are these 4 lepers on the verge of dying. They're hungry. They walk into the Syrian camp and everything is like God gave them everything right there. Without them even working for it. God has prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Look at this next verse, verse number 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And don't you know, all of Israel was escaped from the famine because of that. You know, when you've escaped the degradation of the world, and you've received the blessings of God because you cried out to God for salvation, or you cried out to God one time, said, God, use me again, please, one more time, and God's windows of blessings have been opened to you and poured out the blessings of God on your life, we do not well if we don't tell other people that God will use us again. We do not well, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't tell other people that are struggling, that are lonely, that are hurting, we do not well if we don't share with them the good news, ladies and gentlemen, that God has provided something better for us. If we just, we feel like we're going to die, as Samson said, dear God, one more time, and he killed more Philistines in his death than all his life combined. What I'm saying is God can still use you. God is using you. God has used you. Or you have to be used of God for what's right, not for what's sin. The decision is yours. Are you like Samson? The four leprous men about to die? The woman at the well? I don't know who you are. I don't know what your hurts are. I don't know what your trials are. But I do know this much. If you call out to God and just say, remember me like the thief on the cross. That's all he said. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And you know what Jesus said? Today. Today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hey, if you call out to God and say, God, remember me, please. Use me one more time, dear God, please. God's answer will be today, I'll use you. Today. You can be used of God for what's right again. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you for such a great salvation that we have. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross in our place so that we can have an eternity in heaven. We don't deserve it, but yet your grace, unmerited favor, has been bestowed upon us by faith. And likewise, dear God, that same faith needs to be practiced when we fall and flat on our face, when we've ruined our lives, when we're hurting like we've never hurt before, or when we've had doubts like we've never doubted before. Oh, dear God, may we fall flat on our face today, right now, and plead for mercy and forgiveness and say, dear God, like the prodigal son, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. Bless this invitation. If there's anybody in this room that's not saved, may they come this morning and receive Jesus as their Savior. If anybody's been saved but they've not been baptized, may they come now and get baptized. And maybe others have fallen flat on their face, or they've been hurting, or others have hurt them. And maybe bitterness has set in. Dear God, may they come and just plead one more time. God, use me one more time. Bless, we pray this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Christians praying, you come and do business with God.
All to Jesus I surrender.